Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
ridiculously talented Chowdhury Pichai, and singing, what's more, and she was doing that to the words of my co-host, Jay Hatter. Hello, Hatter, how are you? Hello, Hatter. Well, he was here. He disappeared on me. Welcome back to him. You're listening to AP Taylor, and this is A Team of Voices Radio, and we are on Blog Talk Radio here, and we are
unmuted. Sorry.
Oh. There he is. Hi, Hatter. We are a group on allpoetry.com, and if you want to find us, what you do is you get yourself a free account on allpoetry.com, wander over to the team's page of A Team of Voices, and on the gate you will find the head of Team of Voices, Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Surprisingly good, considering I had 3 board meetings in the space of 2 days on Thursday and Friday, and I was saying to Hatter that just to make that whole little, you know, complex little game a whole heap more complex, I went and got my 3rd booster shot for COVID on Friday morning before the 3rd of the board meetings. And I was so busy, I didn't even notice that, you know, by the time I got to the evening, I had a headache, I was sore, I was tired, my blood pressure was out of whack, and I had a fever. Apart from that, it went really well, Seth. And then I spent most of yesterday in bed sort of just sleeping it off. So to my almost normal, whatever that is, self. But it wasn't exactly, you know, the best case of timing I've ever done in my life.
I agree. But for sure.
Anyway, it's now done, though. I've had my three vaccinations. I've still got my Band-Aid on my right shoulder. And so I have been there, done that, Deb. I can proudly say that I'm completely up to date. So there you go. I think it's only half of Australians who've had their third booster shot, and I've now had I'm on right equation. Anyway, what do you, because it was my turn, being obviously quirky, because that's what I do. And so today, the poetry show that we have is on pomegranates. And, of course, pomegranates are fruits from the Mediterranean, they are widely done for their juice and their seeds, but of course they've got a great deal of flesh around them and they're very interesting shape and colour. But pomegranates were known as the fruit of death, and were spoken about in the Greek in the Greek tradition as getting people getting people. Person back to the afterlife every year, but then we had the symbolism of the pomegranate kind of interesting. But then it changed, and it went from things like success and power through the Old Testament through to William Shakespeare is Romeo and Juliet, when it's more like innocence and purity. Depends on which sort of part of literature you go to, but the pomegranate it can mean a whole lot of different things. So that's why I thought it was a good topic, Adam. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Right.
How did that happen? Everything.
What's that?
Welcome from death to rebirth to rebirth to captivity to.
Yeah, that was really interesting.
I was
blown
away.
So over the years, it sort of has been used for different things and for different reasons and for different purposes. And, The Kite Runner, more recent book, that was only about 20 years old, the two main characters played near the pomegranate tree and carved their name in it. And that was sort of interesting because the tree was located in a cemetery, but they were sort of showing their friendship through carving their names in this tree. So, you know, it can be about friendship and loyalty as much about innocence and purity and as much about death. So people have used the symbolism of granite in very different ways.
Yeah, all it was to me was a bush on the side of the corner of the old house, and if you got one thrown at you, you were called the red spot.
Well, there you go. And I should say, we do have a poem from you, Hannah, on the wonderful world of pomegranates, and we've got a few on the boards as well. Did you want to kick us off with your pomegranate poem to start with?
Sure. Let me give you 1 second here to go fetch it, because I forgot to put it on the show page.
Oh, you did start
on
the board. Well, we can start with Deb's pomegranate poem, if that's the case. If you're still searching higher for it. Deb, do we want to kick your poem off first? I don't think we've ever put your poem up first on the show. This would have to be a first for us, which is good.
We can do that. I'm putting it there right now.
I beat you.
You beat that's me to it.
Too.
You
doesn't
beat
happen
me to
often.
It. Okay.
I'm right behind her.
And I packed 10 tons of stuff into the author's notes, some of which you already mentioned. I was quite fascinated with all the different stories that I found. And then on top of that,
yeah,
I found a piece of art that was called Dreaming of Pomegranates. And they say that if you dream about a pomegranate, it's considered very auspicious, especially in matters of finance. If you're going through a particularly bad phase in life, seeing a pomegranate may signify that the universe is now working in your favor and all the worries will soon come to an end. I thought that was
wow.
cool. So, it's called Smashing Pomegranates for Luck. But skip the fertility, please. Here we go. Launch the leg missile to smash the pomegranate. It explodes like grenades that spread red shrapnel. The explosion dots the floor in garnet-tinted seeds that splash the linen tablecloth on the dining table. Jewel-colored juice stains the cloth with ruby drizzles and soaks the white fibers like blood on gauze pads. Sweet-sour lines drip out antioxidant-rich messages fueled by death or with the prosperity the fruit adds. If pomegranate eyelid snapshots are a lucky sign in sleep, may the eyelids they parade over be mine and boom.
Interesting. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I thought, and so it really leads itself to some of the beautiful descriptions that you used, and particularly the end there, in sleep may the eyelids they parade over be mine. It's very nice. I thought that was I thought it was lovely, and your author's notes are very extensive. I like very much. So, Ada, did you want to say a few words?
Thank you very much. And the art's from 1912.
It's a beautiful pattern, beautiful picture. Love the picture.
Yeah, I think so. And she's clutching a pomegranate in her right hand.
No, it's brilliant. Hannah, did you want to say some words?
Yes, so Deb, you took all that information, you probably ran across more than I did, and you just formed your own give me a pomegranate dream.
Sort of.
There's so much there.
The dream was one of the things on the list, and I just took a small piece of things that stuck out for me. There's tons more. I had known a lot of the health things. You know, like it being good for your blood pressure and whatnot, but not the things I found. I thought it was quite fascinating.
It was. You had mentioned it to me earlier, how much information there was, and I was surprised even after being told.
Yeah.
You probably and sat there right next to the pineapple on the head of the table.
There you go. So I also liked it, the reference to pomegranates and grenades, where they both, if they blow, they have shrapnel. It went from the number of seeds being biblical to the death, the fruit of the death was because Hades had used the seeds on Persephone. So it's just like, who knew there were so many incredible, fascinating things you could get lost in just reading about pomegranates. I actually even found a poem, and the reason that I put it on our list is because for one, the poet was born in 1871, and he's a French poet. And what fascinated me about him, I learned a new word, a prosodist, and I did not know what that meant, so I went and looked it up. And it's like the study of speech and writing, where you write so that the speaker's voice rises and falls. And you know how when you read out loud, you hope to not bore anybody with just one steady pitch you want to use.
Yes.
Anyway, I found it fascinating. Apparently, this guy liked to read poetry out loud. So I guess if he had a mic, he would have been blogging like us. But I thought his poem was cool. And I thought as rhymers, as much as I appreciated it, that the two of you would really appreciate it and that AP might want to read it. Anyway,
Well, I can certainly do that. This was Paul Valery's poem.
Yes.
So as far as the fruit, is a pomegranate like Asian or is it South American? Where does it originate?
I did see that it's I believe it's somewhere Asian or something to that I had saw earlier.
Yeah, that would have been my guess because I thought I had heard it before, but I failed to run across that fact in research in the last day or two. Was the ingredients painters use for their colors and paint?
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if that wasn't one. I didn't see that listed.
Yeah, I'm surprised. It's considered indigenous to Iran and neighboring countries. The cultivation
circled
the Mediterranean and extended through the Arabian Peninsula, Afghanistan, and India. It's commonly cultivated in the Americas from the warmer parts of the U.S. to Chile. So it gets around now. But
yeah, it does get around. Yeah.
It gets around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let me read that poem, Deb, and then once we've read that poem by Paul Valery, then I will go to you, Haddock, because you've got your poem up on the board. So this is by Paul Valery, and it goes a little bit like this. Hard pomegranate sundered by excess of your seeds, you make me think of mighty brows aburst with their discoveries. If the suns you underwent, O pomegranate severed, wrought your essence with the pride to rend your ruby segments. And if the dry gold of your shell, an instance of a power, cracks in crimson gems of juice, this luminous eruption sets a soul to dream upon its secret architecture in poem.
I really like the idea of the sets a soul to dream upon its secret architecture. I love the way it ends. I don't know why I just love that secret architecture.
No, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's like
one
of I would just say that I've seen the videos of like some of the passion fruits too. There are certain ways to cut open. One to make sure that you do not lose any seeds at all. One to make sure that you don't spill anything on yourself.
Yes. That's important.
I'm sure that's the architecture bit. Yeah.
Yes, correct. That's right. I think you're exactly right.
And I must have read something else of his. This one wasn't rhyming. But like I said, there was something about it that I really, really liked.
No,
seeing on the board that Stephen's here and only has a moment.
I'm saying hello to Stephen right now, and maybe Kay, and maybe Stephen and Kay. Hello, Stephen. How are you?
Good. How are you? I'm a bit on the tired side, but I'm okay.
Yes. No, I can completely get the tired side bit. I completely can get that. But we do have a poem of yours on the board, and I'm assuming that or you are too tired to read it, you would like to actually sort of slip by and read that for us.
Yeah, I just got the twice. After Sky Show, I decided to try to write for it, and I figured, I came up with this anyway.
Okay.
And I couldn't think of a title. So the title's the first line of the poem, Pierce the Burgundy Skin with Whetted Blade. And hopefully, I already wrote it. I'll say it like Wayne. I've never read this. I've only wrote it. So here we go. Pierce the burgundy skin with whetted blade. Slice through pulp and seed. Scoop compartments tartly made. To screams, do not pay heed. Ruby-stained teeth sloppily grin as pumping slows to stop. Chewing grist, an ignoble sin, and tottering valves do pop. Blood-red pulp runs down chin, body collapses to knees, shattering caps and breaking skin, scarlet barms echoing all pleas. Squeezing halves of life's fruit, sticky juices squirting through fingers, drop upon the twitching mute, so decayed pinings still linger. End poem.
that's neat. It's a very, very nice AB rhyme and has lovely cadence, and it's actually talking about the whole sense of the of carving up and the end of the day. That's what our show's about, so you can't be more on point than that. So I thought it was really funky.
Thank you.
Yeah. How do you correctly harvest a pomegranate, Stephen?
No idea. I've never had one.
Yeah, you never had one? Okay. That's a trick.
Well,
that's a trick, man.
Honest as well. There you go. Hatter, did you want to make a few comments about the pomegranateness of this pump?
For not having one, you sure got quite a bit of information here. No. I remember the first time I can remember where I was standing. I didn't even know it was a damn fruit. It was just this one bush that nobody took care of towards the end of the summer. Had these weird-ass pieces of fruit. And they were just all about staining. It was all about getting stained. The compartment, the sliced fruit pulp and seed scoop compartments, because they are, they're little pods in there. If you do it right, you can survive. Yeah, you can survive with the clothes you that your mom gave you this morning that wasn't stained. And of course, my mom thought I was bleeding to death when I came home.
There you go. Thank you, Hannah. Deb, did you want to say a few words about Stephen's pomegranate, please?
Yeah, Stephen, I like the way you played with the wording and let it, yes, of course, describe the look of those pomegranate seeds bleeding on that paper, but it also sends the reader's mind in a bunch of different, some gruesome directions as well. As you read each line, so I thought that was pretty damn clever, especially for something that you threw together 6 minutes ago. I think it came out really great. It's an awesome share.
Thank you, Deb.
Now, Stephen, while we have you on the line and while you are still temporarily away, did you want to say a few things about your upcoming shows?
Our Monday is the Mortuary of Shadows, and it's the do-over show for the Cask of Amontillado because Blog Talk hiccuped and didn't record the first time we did, so we're doing it again. So we're going to rip those bricks down and set Fortunato free, and then we're going to throw them back in there and build the bricks up again. So,
okay.
All the poems that were originally in the show are in the topic folder already, so we're hoping that everybody originally that called in will be able to call in again and reply. And if anybody wants to add
that
to me too, they're more than welcome. It's at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday.
That is a pain to see that happened again.
Yeah.
We had exactly the same thing happen with our Soul Asylum show yesterday morning. It didn't record. So very, very painful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
gotta love
all the best with the repeat show, Stephen. That's all I can say. You practice once, and it's going to be great. It'll be a great show. You've done it before.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, it saves me from writing, too. I'm already working on James Joyce, so.
There you go.
There you go. That's what I'm doing. Well, there you go. Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for calling in. And I know it's late, so we'll let you get on your way.
Sweet dream.
Thank you very much. I got to go to bed. I've been up for a very long time. Take care, everybody.
Okay. Till soon.
Yep. Good night.
Later, Steve.
Thank you. So, Deb, we now are going to turn to Hatter's piece, which is up on the board.
Yeah, now I took all that information that I gathered today all across the ages and the social ladders, and this is what I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
I picked the best stuff out. It's called To Make a Unicorn Bleed.
Okay.
It goes like this. Within the pages marked history of fruit that stands in mystery, a trick to trick a goddess by seed to make the unicorn bleed. The stain of a blood, the sign of love, maybe just glad to see you. But after last night, my tummy's a fright. I hope it cures diarrhea. And that does all those things.
Yeah. the setup. I see. Almost like a sea shanty, except it's got yar and diarrhea. Same timing pattern. It's like a line-up sea shanty, sort of go the long, go the short, and finish with the bowl. Deb, what did you think of the unicorns?
Hatter, I think it's a little bit crazy here, but you talk about me reading and mixing a bunch of things in, but what made you pick on the poor unicorn?
That's the bush it's tied to only a virgin can tame a unicorn, correct? And only a virgin can keep a unicorn, and it needs to be tied to a pomegranate tree. And it can be tricked into thinking the unicorn's hurt, if I remember right. But that was the one. Did I get it wrong?
Look,
is that what it is?
I don't know. In any fairy tale I've ever read about a unicorn, there were no virgins.
This is Christianity, wasn't that?
At least they didn't announce them and tie anything to a tree. Unless, of course, it's an Anne Rice fairy tale. Just saying.
There you go.
I didn't think of that.
Well,
I just knew I had to get some of that in there. I thought it was.
Well,
yeah,
no,
each
no.
one of the religions is a reason.
Put it in.
Yeah.
So we should say, too, it's important at this point to note, Deb, that we have picked up on a team of voices, our 62nd country that is listening to us on the World Wide Web. And we are now being listened to somewhere in Finland, Ada. Somewhere in Finland. Lovely, lovely, beautiful country. Quite cold. Lovely, beautiful country. Up in Northern Europe. So hello to our Finnish listeners.
Hello,
Finland.
Yes, well, I've got my Finnish. It's not my strength, Hatter, well, I have to say. So I'm not even say some Finnish, I don't think, because that would, you know, I would struggle, I think, it's best to say. So I think it's a high, though, hello in Finnish, which is easy enough, isn't it, really? So if you do that, say hi, then do that. It's easy. Hi to all our Finnish listeners. Now, Deb, we have a couple of other poems. We have a poem that's been put into our little folder by one of the members of a team of voices, which is Kimberly Baker. So did you want me to read that poem? You're on the line. Kimberly, if you're on the line,
can we comment?
Yourself. Hello,
yep,
Kimberly.
I'm here.
How are you? Hello.
Hey,
it's lovely to have you.
I guess I called in at perfect timing, huh?
That is absolutely perfect timing. It's like, you know, I started saying your name and then we're on the board and now you're in the studio. It's like, how's that work? You know, it's almost scary. But anyway, so it's just meant to be, obviously. So let me go to the you know, the folder and grab your poem from a couple of hours.
Okay.
And you've already put it on the board. That?
Yep.
My God. How quick is that? I'm so impressed. So should I read, Kimberly? It's as simple as that.
Okay. It's called Blood Red Moon. The rising moon dripping in the sky as it bled, painting the night a glowing pomegranate red. An ominous light reflecting over the thrashing sea, mimicking the scene of a gruesome feeding frenzy. The land had a radioactive glow that night. The wolves howled from dusk until daylight. With the sunrise, all sign of the crimson night washed away, fading into a pink then blue to begin a new day. And boom.
Yeah. It's all colors, Kimberly. I'll give you that. And I do like, in terms of timing, that the land had a radioactive glow that night because, of course, in the current circumstances that we put ourselves in, Chernobyl's actually about 10 times the time it was before people started throwing shells at it, so figure. So, we do have a moment in time where we do have some radioactive stuff going on, and the wolves were howling. That's cool because a lot of things are. So I thought that was kind of funky. I did like your rhyming too. I am now going to hand over to Deb, who's going to do some commentary on the...
Yeah, Kimberly, I thought you did great with the brevity, and you painted such a vivid picture in my mind with your words that I had to run real quick to my folder. I'm about to throw the vision that you put into my mind on the board. I'm really glad you called, but I think that you totally proved that with words you could make a picture and not need a photo to go with it, although I'm stubborn and I like to do the photo thing. But if you look on the board right about now, that's the vision that you put in my head while you were reading. So, great brevity.
Oh, wow. Hada, did you want to say some words for Kimberly about her pomegranate poem?
Yeah, the rhyme was spot on. I like it when the cadence comes down to a count and it's small words versus small words, if that makes sense. That means we don't end one rhyming line with a small word and then continue to a longer one. It's harder to do and harder to get away with. It can be done, but this is really well done. Through the frenzy, the sea, the wolves howl from dusk to the daylight. Where's the last one? With the sunrise all sign of the crimson night washed away, fading into pink, then blue in the beginning of a new day. That's right. I'm sorry. Very good.
Yeah.
Very nice piece of brevity. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And I want to stick around for a little bit, Kimberly. I'm not sure we're going to be going for too long because we didn't get a heap of pomegranate poems, but those that we got have been really fun. The one that we haven't done at the minute is mine, and so I'm going to put mine up on the board, Hatter. And you have to bear with me here because in the current environment that we're in, with the pop stuff going on in Europe, I sort of saw the pomegranate as some sort of, you know, thing running along on tracks, and the seeds were the people inside it. So just bear with me as we go with that. This is Crimson Lashes. And it goes a little bit like this. Gashes of crimson mixed with acrid black smoke. Here nobody won as there was a mother's son, not just a uniform on a death cloak. His eyes past distance was a conscript from farm folk. Squad leader insistent through his fierce persistent, just training, given a friendly poke. Not long there were flashes and in this dread left to soak, traces past dashes, mortars, humpers, crashes. His concern deep in his skin was. Inside the armoured vehicle, his magazine a bullet stroke. The flames above treacle, last noise yelling at people. Pomegranate seed discarded in smoke. End pump.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, it's all a bunch of pomegranate seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a terrible thing to hear within the first 15 minutes of the strike 40 soldiers were dead.
Correct. It's a horrible thing, Hatter. Just a horrible thing. There's just no... War is a terrible thing. We've had far too many of them. We've got another one now. And, you know, we unfortunately know it all too well because we've done it far too many times. So it's not a great thing to be well practiced.
Yeah, I was going to say it's pretty fascinating that you were able to use the descriptions for the pomegranate itself to pull in the war. But beyond that, I don't know if this is an existing pattern, but I'm looking at how you have like stroke, bloke, folk, poke, silk, woke, stroke. I mean, it was pretty hard to carry that rhyme pattern through so well, and not by just like repeat minds, but by the sound. And it has an interesting
sound.
Yeah, it's a really interesting rhyme pattern. But I'm still, like I said, with the armored vehicle, his magazine of bullets, stroke, I think that it's really, really awesome, considering they got the word grenade from the word pomegranate, that you went with the war and the descriptions that you have here is pretty damn clever.
Thank you, Dave.
Wow. It is.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever heard another something called something that was referred to in so many different ways, in different centuries and different languages.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's an interesting thing. It is. It really is. And Kimberly, did you want to say some words about Crimson and Lashes, my little rhyming piece?
What's a treacle?
Sorry, what?
The word you have, the flames above treacle. What is that?
Oh.
Then I'll comment more, but I just don't know what that is.
The treacle, as in what treacle is, or
yeah. What does that word mean?
Treacle is normally like a really thick type of sugary substance. Yeah, so. It's a bit like sort of a golden syrup or a molasses or something like that. It's sort of it's quite thick and it moves with a distinctive sort of pattern, yeah. And the reason that I use that is because oftentimes if there's flames, particularly if there's flames that have been created by like a Molotov cocktail, you'll see them sort of flow, and they flow like with the pattern of treacle or molasses.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes a lot more sense now. yeah, this is like, wow. Not long were there flashes, and in this dread left to soak. I like how you used to soak with the dread stinking into, you know, it makes it feel more like real, more massive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of just dripping into something, it's soaking into it like there's a lot, you know? And let's see. I also like the flame above the circle now that I know what that means. That means that's really cool. You did a really, really good job with this. I also like how it rhymes, but not necessarily like a normal pattern, but it did make it more intense because of the throughout the whole thing, the smoke and stroke part, the whole thing more intense it felt like.
Yeah, that
cool.
Was what that, you know, that was the intention. It was to try and get something that sort of it sort of made you sort of stop rather than flow naturally. It sort of stilted it a little bit. And it just sort of tried to build the sort of tension of the poem a little bit more. So that was the
oh,
that
it
was
did.
Why I did
it totally intensified
yeah.
It really, at least for me. Really
yeah,
good job.
No,
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Yeah, so it was a little bit
cool.
A little bit structured to that. So so there you go. With your pomegranates and a whole heap of different ways. Hatter? Who would have known? You know, that you could do a pomegranate poem about just about anything, really. Now, I should have given you warning, Hannah, because, of course, it's your turn to choose what our topic is going to be for next week.
You know what? I happen to have one
that,
in my pocket.
On that matter, I'm wondering, Hatter, if you'll even be up for next week and that maybe you
well,
can have a topic following week.
No, I think you'll fit. If not, we can hold it over. But it's going to be ready for this. Drum roll. Home. H-O-M-E, as in your home.
Like Dorothy.
What does
you know? There is no place like home. You know, yes, home. Home.
Home. Don't know what it is until it's been taken away from you.
H-O-M-E, home, is what it's about.
Home. Phone, home.
Home.
E-T.
E-T, phone, home. Exactly. Yes,
I'm confused now. Are you spell that again?
Are you saying
like there's home, like there's no place like home, or home like peanut butter?
There's no place like home.
Okay.
Yep. No place like home.
Home. Okay.
Phone. All that.
That works.
Anyway.
That works. Yeah, no, it works. I'm happy, Hatter. That's a very, very fine suggestion. Very, very fine suggestion.
Yeah,
Taser left.
And I might
too.
Not be in good, very good shape. So, yeah.
Well, we may not be on next week. We'll just see. We'll see where you're up to, Hatter.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I have a question, Deb, a technical question.
Yes.
Because I was keen to actually load a song on, but how long does that take to do for the final song?
To load a song? 2 minutes?
Yeah. Funny.
2 minutes?
Okay.
Can
I get you to for me?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is by K-E-A-N-E, Somewhere Only We Know. Keen, Somewhere Only We Know.
Okay.
The reason for this, Hatter, the reason I want this, is because the lyrics are beautiful, right? It's a British song. Lyrics are superb. Yeah. So, can I read you a couple of lyrics from? Yeah?
It's your show, buddy.
I walked a happy land. I knew the pathway like the back of my hand. I felt the earth beneath my feet. I sat by the river and it made me complete. Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me when you're going to let me in. I'm getting tired, and I need somewhere to begin. Getting tired, and I need somewhere to begin. How's that? I really like
heavy,
it.
Man.
I
heavy.
Love the list.
We should do more of that. We should pick something that Deb runs across and sort of dissect it. Into the words and lines.
Yep.
There's so many good lines out there, so many good poets. Very few people consider their favorite musician a poet, and they are a poet probably before they were a musician.
Not, they're definitely a poet, and this is definitely a poetic song, you know. And it's got beautiful lyrics, and
who's it by?
Sorry?
Who is it by?
Sorry, Hannah. By Keen. K-E-A-N-E. Keen.
Okay.
And it was released. Keen. And it was released 2004 So it's 18 years old. And so it's not, you know, it's not a song that's, you know, just happened to be passed in the last year or two. It's been around for a while. I don't think it did marvelous well in the United States, from memory.
What genre of music do the Kane play in? Is it classic rock or?
No, okay, it's sort of alternative. Yeah, but it got to 50 in the Billboard Top 100. So it didn't sort of set the world on fire, but it did okay. Yeah. And it didn't go fantastically well in Australia either, but it'd be a really, really, really good song. So,
there's a teeny bit of info on the board if you want to pick through it a little bit, and then you can just push play under K.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will do that too. So this is a really interesting song because it was only originally out in 1,000 versions. Or 1,000 records, so they were limited in terms of the number. But this
I'm dying to hear
apparently,
it.
But this apparently refers to the Battle of Hastings, which is a famous battle fought in 1066 in England. So I'm really keen at it, but we'll get your views after you've heard it, of course. But I'd like to thank Kimberly for past and Stephen for coming past and for Deb and just around and doing pomegranates. So I thought it was good fun. I am now going to go, I just wonder where it is. It's probably down. It's under the title, Deb.
Everything's under by artist. So go to K.
Oh, okay.
Well, I got one announcement here. I got one announcement here.
You can do that.
Today is the 26th. Was it the 26th? Today was set a good example day, a National Pistachio Day, National Tell a Fairy Tale Day.
That works.
And then tomorrow, National Kahlua Day and Polar Bear Day.
Ooh.
Hey, National Podcast Day. National Podcast Day.
Well,
polar bears and Kahlua. So Kahlua in the coffee in the morning.
Well, there you go. And meanwhile, somewhere only we know by Keane. See what you think, Hatter.
To begin, I came across a
piece of piano rock there, Hatter, in 4-4 in A major. Beautifully, beautiful set of chords. Anyway, there you go. That was Keen, somewhere anyway, no. And we are coming back for next week, although we may be delayed, depending on how you are, Hatter. So fingers crossed we'll be next week. If we're not, we'll be back the week after with Home. Thank you, everybody, and we'll talk very soon. Bye, everybody.
Love and respect you guys.
See you. Bye, Deborah.
Bye. Bye, Hatter.
Bye, Pete.